Welcome to the National Geographic Science Podcast Series. I am Barbara Quincer Coulter, Director of Research and Professional Development at National Geographic School Publishing. Our guest today is Dr. Nell K. Duke, Co-Director of the Literacy Achievement Research Center and Professor of Teacher Education and Educational Psychology at Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan. Dr. Duke's research and teaching focuses primarily on young children, pre-kindergarten through grade 2. She is particularly interested in how young children learn to comprehend informational texts and what teachers can do to facilitate that process. Dr. Duke has received awards for her research from the International Reading Association, the National Council of Teachers of English, the National Reading Conference, and the American Educational Research Association. She is author and co-author of numerous journal articles, book chapters, and books, including Reading and Writing Informational Texts in the Primary Grades, Research-Based Practices, and Literacy from the Youngest Learner, Best Practices for Educators of Children from Birth to 5. Our topic today is informational text and young children. Nell, it's great to have you here today to focus on this important topic for our teachers. To help our listeners get on the same page, can you talk about the importance of using informational text with young children in kindergarten through grade 2, especially in the area of science?
Sure. Well, informational text is important to young children for a number of different reasons. One of these reasons is that for young children, informational texts are an important way to learn about the world. So for a child, for example, who's never been to the ocean, an information book can provide all kinds of information and background knowledge about oceans and give kids the kind of experiences that, even though they haven't gotten them firsthand, will lay the groundwork for their later understanding and their later achievement in science and also in other content areas. But in addition to learning about the world, informational texts are really important for young children because they help to lay the groundwork for the kind of reading that these kids are going to have to do a lot in later schooling. You probably heard people talk about that children first learn to read and then read to learn. Well, the problem with that distinction is that it's really a rude awakening for a lot of kids when it's time to start to read to learn. If we haven't given them experience with that early on, being able to read informational text on difficult websites, difficult textbooks can be really shocking around fourth and fifth grade. And in fact, unfortunately, we do know from studies that have compared U.S. students to students in other countries, U.S. students are particularly bad at reading informational text in fourth grade as compared to students in a number of other countries, particularly as you compare them to how well we read literary text. That is, U.S. students can read literature and literary text fairly well at fourth grade compared to other nations, but the gap between that and their informational reading is pretty substantial. So what we want to do is sort of break down this distinction between learning to read and reading to learn, and instead having kids reading to learn to some degree from the very beginning parts of schooling so that they're used to this kind of text, they learn how to read this kind of text, and fourth grade, fifth grade doesn't turn out to be such a shock for them. A third reason I think it's really important to use informational text with children in the primary grades is because some children really prefer this kind of text. And I imagine that you've seen some of that yourself, and certainly lots of teachers I work with notice that certain students in their class just prefer this kind of reading. If it were up to them, this is the kind of reading that they would do, you know, most of the time. So we want to make sure we include informational text so that we can, you know, ignite the interest of kids who like to read that kind of text or who have particular topics that are of great, great interest to them that are addressed in informational text.
Great. Thanks so much for those three key points to help us really see the importance of using informational text in the classroom. One of our other authors of the program, Dr. David Moore, also worked on the literacy strand along with you. And in his podcast, Teaching Science Through Literacy, he explained the importance of addressing literacy in a science program. But can you talk about how to address literacy in a science program?
One of the most important and fundamental things is that we include literacy, we include particularly informational text in the science program, and we want to make sure that as much as possible, these are really high quality texts, that is, texts that are developmentally appropriate for young children, that have engaging illustrations or photographs, that are very carefully worded, that are of the very, very highest scientific accuracy. So step one is just making sure that we're including informational text in our classrooms and in our day. And I recommend that teachers look at making sure that there's informational text in every part of the school day, so in the part of the day that you think of as your literacy block, but also to make sure that there's informational text in the social studies block and, of course, most relevant to our topic today, in the science program, so that every day in science, students are not only having opportunities to do hands-on or firsthand investigations, but also having the opportunity to do some reading and ideally some writing as well of informational text in and about science specifically. I also want to just point out that we want to include informational text not just in the activities that students do. That is, we don't just want students to be engaging in literacy in the activities, but also in the environment. It's great to put up posters that are informational text, to display information books around the classroom, to make sure that there are little bins of informational texts in science that students can pick up at other parts of the day. So we really want to just surround students with really high quality informational text on different science topics. Another important point I think to mention about how to address literacy in a science program is to pay a lot of attention to vocabulary. And that's something that we thought a lot about as we were developing National Geographic Science K-2. First thing we need to do is pick the words really carefully. What are the words that are so important to the topic and to students' growth in their academic language that we want to make sure that every student is getting lots of exposure to those words? So first, we carefully select the words. Then we make sure that we're providing what we like to think of as kid-friendly definitions for those words, so explanations of the words that are going to make sense and be understandable to children. We want to provide those definitions in several different places and several different ways. Then we want to make sure that we're using the words in lots of different contexts. For example, if we're teaching a particular word that can be illustrated really well graphically, we want to make sure that there's a picture or illustration that illustrates that word. Sometimes it makes sense for young children to act out the word. We want to use it in the text, but also want to have kids using it in their discussion and sort of trying it out so that students get lots of different exposures to the word, which we know for vocabulary development is crucial. To really learn a word, students need, depending on who you ask, between 4 and 12 meaningful exposures to that word. So we want to make sure that we're providing that. The reason I'm making these special points about vocabulary, Barbara, is because vocabulary is one of the very best predictors we have of reading comprehension. That is that students who have stronger vocabularies tend to be much better comprehenders, and better comprehenders are then reading more and further building their vocabulary. So vocabulary is just such a crucial piece for us to be addressing in instruction, and science is one of the very best places to address it. Another point that's really important, I think, in how to address literacy in the science program is really to make sure that we're including literacy in several different formats. So, you know, reading aloud text in the science program in kindergarten to second grade is very important and something we would not want to miss. That gives us a chance to expose kids to the very highest levels and the most sophisticated and content-rich informational text that we can. But we also want to make sure that students are beginning to have an opportunity to read informational text in small groups. So we'd like to have a time during our science instruction, a lot like the time that most teachers spend during their literacy block, where they have students in small groups. Each small group is reading the same text, and they're taking turns getting support from the teacher to decode and to understand that text. We want to make sure that that happens in science with informational text as well. We want to have read aloud, we want to have small group reading, and finally, even with K-2, we want to have an opportunity for children to read some text on their own. In kindergarten, often a text that's already been read to them a few times, you know, and then they work to try to approximate reading it on their own. And for first and second grade, you know, increasingly being able to independently read information books. So when we're trying to address literacy in the science program, we just want to make sure we do it through read aloud, through small group reading, and through the individual reading opportunities. In terms of writing, I think about several different ways that we want to incorporate writing into our science program. it is important to have opportunities for students to do what we call, you know, writing to learn, basically writing as a way of revisiting concepts, trying to explain concepts, explore concepts. Then we have writing in the science notebook. And even for very young children, it is possible to use science notebooks and to have them work well for the children. And you'll notice, you know, of course, we've included science notebooks in National Geographic Science K-2. Children are certainly able to begin to draw some of what they're observing, for example, and to begin to label some of their drawings. So those are some of the kinds of things we want to see in terms of writing in the science notebook. And then finally, we like to see writing projects in the K-2 grades where students are doing writing in science for some kind of important audience or for some kind of like larger purpose. For example, they might write a little information book about what they've learned in a particular science unit to share with other classrooms or with parents or members of the community. So all of those are kinds of writing experiences that we want to include when we address literacy in a science program.
Well, and thanks so much, Nell, for presenting those really clear and very tangible examples. I think teachers really can see how to, you know, address literacy through the use of a science program. But let's go into comprehension. One of your points, you focused on comprehension strategies. National Geographic Science includes strategy instruction in four comprehension strategies. Can you talk about why these four strategies are included in the program?
So, Barbara, thank you for that question because it really underscores an important point, which is it isn't enough with kindergarten to second grade students just to expose them to literacy and science. We really want to teach them how to be literate in science, how to read and write, for example, informational texts on science topics. So one of the ways we do this is by teaching them comprehension strategies, by teaching them the things that good readers do in their minds as they read. We chose four comprehension strategies, as you mentioned, to focus on in National Geographic Science K-2. Actually, we focus on two of them in kindergarten to kind of ease children into it and get them started, and then we focus on all four in grades 1 and 2. We chose these strategies in part because they are strategies that are very important to reading informational text and to reading text in science. We also chose these four because they're texts that they're strategies that we believe and research suggests even young children can learn, and it can support their comprehension development to be taught these strategies. The four that we decide to focus on are first preview and predict. So looking over a text and then as you're reading, making predictions about what you'll learn next, what will the author tell you next in the text. Second strategy was monitor and fix up. Of course, that's important with any kind of text, but certainly when students are reading text in science, we want them to pay attention to whether what they're reading is making sense, whether they understand what they're reading, the concepts that are being presented. And then if they don't understand, we want them to have strategies they can use to solve the problem, right? So it's not enough for them to just monitor. We need them to monitor and then to say, oh, you know, what can I do? This didn't make sense to me. A very simple one that kindergarten to second graders can certainly use is rereading. So just going back and rereading when something didn't make sense. A third strategy that we focus on is making inferences, right? Sort of reading between the lines or learning to be able to figure out things that aren't maybe explicitly stated on the page, but that are important to our understanding. So for making inferences with young children, we wanted to have a predictable and very regular, simple way that they can try to make an inference. So they start by saying, the text says, something the text says, I know, so they put in some of their background knowledge, and then, and so, and they make their inference. So it's the text says, I know, and so. And by repeatedly using those frames, we find that young children can get much more in the habit of being able to make and to understand inferences as they read. A fourth strategy that we have focused on is summing up. And again, summing up, you know, being able to sort of wrap up or summarize what one has read is important in many kinds of texts, but certainly very important in informational text in science, and especially in the National Geographic Science Program, because we've really focused so much on those big ideas and those big questions. We want students to be able to sum up answers to those questions and to be able to sort of sum up key points about what they're learning. So those are the four strategies we focus on. We do encourage teachers, you know, to be selective. So, for example, if they've spent a lot of time teaching preview and predicting in other contexts, maybe they're going to spend a little less time teaching that within the program and instead focus on some of the other strategies. But overall, our goal we see as achievable is to have our students be able to apply all four of these strategies as a regular part of their reading.
And the books that are used in National Geographic Science to really support comprehension strategy instruction are the Become an Expert books and Explore on Your Own books at grades K and 2. Talk about the importance of text features and our approach in National Geographic Science in that area.
Oh, good question, Barbara. Thank you. One of the things that we cared a lot about in developing these books is that they had a wide range of the kinds of features that we really encounter when we're reading a variety of kinds of informational text. You know, some publishers and some teachers want to sort of shelter young children from features of informational text. They want to hold off and not have children see boldface text or an index or a pronunciation guide until students are older. And we think that's probably the wrong way to go, but rather to have these features occur, you know, in natural ways in the books that children read from very early on, so that they get used to seeing diagrams and that they get used to seeing, you know, boldface text and so forth. And, you know, we realize that children won't be able to grapple with these features entirely on their own, so we build into the program really a lot of opportunities for teachers to teach kids how to read a diagram, how to read a caption, how to understand what a boldface text is or what a pronunciation guide is or how to make use of the index or the table of contents. Another thing I really like is that we've included a lot of instruction around just how to learn from photographs and illustrations. This is so important because a lot of information in informational text, even for adults, is actually conveyed not through the words, but through the graphics. Unfortunately, in some research I've been doing with a team of collaborators, we're finding that many students just don't know how to read the photographs and illustrations of text. They don't know how to glean the information from the photographs and illustrations that the author intends. So we want to start very early really helping our students to be able to get information from photographs and illustrations. And in my mind, what better place to do that than in the content area of science with photographs of the caliber and quality that National Geographic provides.
Let's move to writing. In National Geographic Science, we focus on writing in specific genres. Can you elaborate on how we can teach writing in a science program?
We teach science writing or writing in science through a lot of different mechanisms. Again, the writer's science notebook is a really great tool for having students do writing and drawing in science. And there's certainly lots of opportunities for students to write to learn in science, that is to just write some of their thoughts, their developing explanations, and so forth. But another important way to teach writing in the science program is to provide what a lot of teachers will call mentor texts or model texts. And we do that throughout the program. K2, we have specific texts that are, we think, of very high quality, well-written, good graphics, compelling, that we use as models for children for writing. We do this in four genres, expository text, persuasive text, procedural text, and nonfiction narrative. Just briefly, you know, expository text is text that is primarily intended to convey information about the natural or social world, all about books, and many science textbooks would fall into this category. Persuasive text is text that is designed to persuade people about how to think or how to do something. And so this is very important in science. For example, a text that persuades people to conserve water would be a persuasive text in science. Procedural text is also very important in science. That's text that's written to give directions for how to do something, and we see lots of procedural text in the form of directions for how to conduct a science investigation. And finally, nonfiction narrative or true stories, and again, these play an important role in science. For example, if a a diver tells the story of, you know, diving to the depths of the ocean and learning about particular creatures there, that would be an example of nonfiction narrative within science. So we try to provide models, of texts in each of these four genres for students that really give them an example of really high quality text. And then we take the models and use them as a vehicle for explicit instruction. So we really teach students about the features of these texts and what makes them good. How does the author try to achieve the purposes of the text? For example, if the author has written a persuasive text and that text is designed to get you to plant more trees, what kinds of pictures and illustrations does that author use to try to convince you to plant more trees? So we look at those kinds of things, and in fact, what we have in is when we read aloud a model text, there are things to talk about in terms of the content, but then we also write out questions and comments that the teacher could make that are related to the text itself, to the genre, and to the tools that the author is using. And then, of course, we have to have students themselves write using those models as models and as inspiration. So we have students write texts themselves and have opportunities for us to give feedback on their writing, and particularly on how well they're using particular characteristics of that genre to achieve its purpose. So, for example, if students were doing a project where they were decorating grocery bags for a local grocery store, and on those bags they were trying to convince people to recycle, we would look at, you know, are we making some of the kinds of moves that authors make to try to convince people? Are we using pictures that will help convince people? Are we using words that will help convince people? Are we giving people reasons why it's important to recycle, and so on?
Thanks so much, Nell. Now, you were an author on the kindergarten through second grade levels of National Geographic Science. In the time that we have left together today, is there any last point that you would like to make about National Geographic Science grades K through 2?
Thanks, Barbara. I think one of the things I think is most important and that I'm most proud of is that we worked very hard in writing for the program to have students writing not just because a teacher assigned them to write, but because they actually have a real audience and a real purpose for writing. An example would be, again, decorating, you know, paper grocery bags for a local grocery store and decorating them, you know, with both words and pictures that are related to the science content. That's a real purpose, a real audience for writing that goes beyond just the teacher or the kids in the class. Or students might use what they're learning in one of the science units to write a book for a local nature center or for the school library. And these kinds of experiences, I think, are really important because when students are writing for a more real audience and for a more real purpose, they appear to be more engaged, and they seem to learn writing better, become better writers. Similarly, in reading in National Geographic Science, we tried to create situations where kids are reading not just because the teacher has handed them a book or told them to read, but because they really want or need to know some kind of information from that text. So, for example, we have a procedure called Turn and Talk, where students will share what they've learned from a book that their reading group read with another student who read a different book in a different reading group, so, and vice versa. So what they're doing is they're pairing up and they're talking with each other about what they've learned, and that gives a real reason, a real motivation for students to comprehend. As another example, when students have an opportunity to do open-ended inquiry, they can often inform the inquiry they do by reading information books related to it. So they read books, the books give them ideas and questions that they can then pursue in their open-ended inquiry. So again, they're reading for a larger purpose, not just because the teacher told them to, but because there's really learning and understanding that can be fostered through reading the books. So again, the evidence is that students who are reading for these kinds of reasons are likely to be more engaged, and they're likely to develop better comprehension skills as a result.
As we wrap up this podcast, since many of our listeners are listening to these podcasts in professional learning communities with colleagues, Can you pose a few big questions that our listeners can ponder about teaching literacy and science?
Sure. I think one key question for teachers to ask themselves is what they themselves need to know and be able to do to be effective readers of science texts. So, you know, of course, teachers generally are very strong readers of science text, but they may not realize all the different things that they know and all the different things that they do to help them be successful readers of science text. For example, you know, we know all about a pronunciation guide. We use that to help us read. We know how to make connections between our background knowledge and what the text says. And all of those things that we know and all those things that we do as good readers are the things that we need to help our students learn to do and to know. And that's really the key. So I think as much as teachers can reflect on their own reading of science text, that will help to really inform their teaching. A second key question for teachers to ask themselves is how they can, as much as possible, have students reading and writing for reasons that go beyond just fulfilling an assignment. So how can we create reasons for students to read and write, you know, real things that they want to learn or understand or apply from their reading, real audiences and purposes for their writing? I think that is a challenge, but an exciting challenge for teachers to face.
Thank you so much for your time today, Nell. I think our listeners are now more informed about the importance of using informational text with young children, especially in the science classroom. Thanks for listening to our National Geographic Science podcast series. For more information, check out the National Geographic Science Professional Development website for additional tools and ongoing support to help you bring science alive in your classroom.